Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here again with another video. Today I'm going to be talking about Counter-Strike. Today I'm going to be talking about one player that made a lot of headlines about 2 years ago. I'm going to talk about Kelly or Kaylee or Kukukli or, you know, whatever fucking pronunciation you like to use of his name. The long story short, because I'm sure, once again, we won't discuss the issue when this gets onto social media. We'll discuss, oh, all you do is repeat yourself. All you do is the video too long. I mean, you know, like, if you don't want to watch, no one's forcing you to watch, you can kindly fuck off and not tell me how to make stuff. Go make stuff your own or go watch stuff that conforms to your needs. But I'll keep it brief for you. He was a French player. He got VAC banned because he was using cheats. And as a result of this, he was kind of ostracized professionally. And hasn't been able to get into another team until recently. And I want to talk about the circumstances around that and the kind of mixed reaction and just how much of a clusterfuck the whole thing was, honestly. I mean, it was handled incredibly poorly. So for the first part of this story, which will probably run for 20 to 30 minutes, strap yourself in if you don't want to. Again, the door's that way. What he did was, this was a report not that long ago. I mean, we're talking, you know, the 23rd of March. And he said there's 0.1% chance of a comeback. He was asked about it, you know, and this is his statement here. Again, people don't like it when I read the statements, but I'll read it for you. I'll do it super quick. It is really nice to see some organizations think differently and try to give people like us a second chance, he said. I do not think it will change anything, though. Even if I am allowed to play in these tournaments, it will be very hard to find people willing to trust you or an organization wishing to take you in. There is like a 0.1% chance of that happening. But of course, if there was someone out there willing to give me a second chance, I would take it without a moment's thought. That's what he said. So, I mean, it's kind of a weird thing to say, isn't it? Because it's like, you know, not really 0.1% chance of a comeback at all. There's always going to be an organization that's willing to pick you up if you're good enough, no matter what you did. Now, here's one thing I will say, and this was ridiculous. I never got around to making a video about it at the time, but I think it's worth just putting on the fucking table, and we can all accept that this is just a fact. Titan blamed Kelly for them losing sponsors and eventually having to close because their brand was so tarnished. This is garbage. This is a complete lie. And anybody who repeats it, you know, I even saw Existence tweeting about this, I think it was, recently. And, you know, I respect Kevin's mind. But maybe, you know, he's going a bit senile in his old age, because Titan was incredibly mismanaged, financially mismanaged. It was a fucking joke of an organization behind the scenes. Everybody knows this, if you swim in those circles. And trying to pin the blame for your years of overspending, you know, bad options, not really understanding the lay of the land when it came to esports holistically. If you're trying to blame that on one player cheating who you subsequently kicked, I mean, you're out of your fucking mind. It's a pathetic excuse. But that's kind of the perception around him now. And I think maybe Kelly believed that a little bit, but it, you know, it's not true. But anyway, he gets a chance. He gets a chance in an organization called Vexed. Now, I can't say anything particular about Vexed. You know, I don't really know a lot about them. I've heard some stories. Maybe we'll get into that one day. But here it is on the 1st of May. He's going to be picked up on trial for Vex Gaming. Now, this is, you know, the 26-year-old has been out of action since his infamous VAC ban in November 2014, just days before the start of the DreamHack Winter Major. And you can see here that, you know, he's going to reunite with some former teammates from CS Source teams he played in. And the Vexed COO, everyone gets a title when you run an esports organization. The esports scene is in rapid growth and it has evolved to become highly professionalized. However, the consequences of cheating have always been a gray area. With the latest ESL announcement, that ESL announcement, ladies and gentlemen, was that they were going to have like a reform plan for one-time cheaters, 2 years from VAC bans, from your first provable VAC ban. But with the latest ESL announcement on the subject, we believe this to be a first step towards a more transparent and unified rule set on the cheating problem. Kelly is a very passionate and dedicated to the game and the professional scene. We're looking forward to working with him. So they've just gone in, they pick him up, and this was the team he was going to play in. And see there, he's got his trial tags on. So again, let's talk about this, right? I want to frame this within a context here, which is what the repetition supposedly is. Cheats, I don't think a one-time cheating infraction should mean the end of your career. It's very rare in sports that that's the case. If you get caught doping, for example, which it's not the same, but it's kind of the closest we're going to get for analogy purposes. If you get caught doping in any other sport, well, what happens? You get a slap on the wrist, you do a two-year ban, and, you know, depending on the circumstances, it could be longer, and then you're going to be massively scrutinized when you get back for any performances, and it also kind of invalidates the things you've achieved, you know? So that's what we've got in mainstream sports. You know, match fixing a little bit more seriously, treated a little bit more seriously than doping. We all know how that goes. I mean, anything from, you know, some of the lifetime bans we saw handed out in cricket and baseball, you know, on a more kind of generous scale, you do a few years out of the game, you do fines. I mean, in the Italian soccer scandal, some people who were involved are back conducting business already. So it depends. It's context dependent. It's sport dependent. It's too big an area to really make a generalization. But I think everybody knows where I stand on this issue. And where I stand on this issue is, if it's a provable one-time infraction, or even, I suppose, a short period of time, you know, you cheated for one tournament over a series of games or something like that, I think a second chance is warranted somewhere down the line. I don't know where it is, but, you know, recently we saw Romelio come back and play at Copenhagen games. People were trying to make out he was cheating there. I mean, fuck it, he would have to have nuts as big as my fucking meatball head if that was going to be the case. I mean, no player would be as scrutinized as Romelio. But again, here's the thing, and this is going to apply to Kelly here. I want to take your lies into consideration when we penalize you. And this makes it incredibly hard because Valve don't want to give the information because they want to preserve the integrity of VAC. I need Valve to, you know, it would make everything easier if Valve would change that. Get a community manager. I don't want to know dates and times. I don't want to know what program it is. What I want to know is, did he use it at a LAN? Did he use it for a month? Did he use it? You know, I don't need to know the exact date, but we need some broader context before we can make decisions. Unfortunately, Valve don't want to implement that kind of system where you have like a commissioner, but they're running tournaments, and it's, you know, they've just got this blanket lifetime ban thing in place, which unfortunately it might work for your tournaments, Valve, but it doesn't work for the esports system holistically. It leaves us scratching our head and not really knowing how to proceed. So it's very hard to gauge whether the punishment's right or not, but he's done 2 years, he gets picked up by Vexed, and you think, all right, well, maybe he warrants, you know, he deserves that second chance. But here's the problem. Rule number one of management: if you're picking up a contentious player, somebody that brings with them baggage, shall we say, talk to your fucking players about it. Well, Vexed management didn't do that at all. They legitimately were just like, yeah, we're going to pick up this contentious cheating player who maybe has some beef with people in the scene. Might have cheated against some of these players at various points. We don't fucking know. But certainly, it's not a guarantee. They're just going to go, all right, well, thanks management for picking up this player. And lo and behold, we get to the next chapter in this crazy story. And there we go. So, here it is. You can see that Jared and Smiley, I guess it's pronounced, have decided to step down from Vexed. This is the same day that they announce this glorious pickup. What the fuck is going on in Vexed where the management haven't had, hey guys, we're thinking about picking up this player on trial, is that all right with everyone? What, you're not having that conversation? That's fucking so stupid. That is so stupid. And of course, then we get into this situation where we're in. I mean, look, you can't make players want to play with other players. I'm kind of a bit torn on this one because I like it when management make decisions about who's going to play on the team rather than let players decide, because players are biased as fuck and they bring their own set of perceptions which sometimes don't align with reality whatsoever about who's a good player, who's a good teammate, and it actually affects your brand. You're the person who pays this pays the players the salary, so you should be entitled to pick what players play and represent your brand. But all too often, managers take a backward step and let the lunatics run the asylum, and I don't really like that either. So a lot of people, in particular Boddy, went on Twitter and was like saying, oh, this is great, it's good to see players who respect themselves. Not that simple, is it really? Because Snacks got banned from ESL for cheating. I'll be saying that the Virtus Pro people, the players don't respect themselves. Snack's one of the best players in the world. Phenomenal. You know, he's got it. Simple. I'll be saying Na'Vi don't respect themselves, that they should refuse to play with him. Shum maybe didn't have a VAC ban, was caught by anti-cheat software in Simple's case. So, you know, what about the Swedes? What about people going back to 1.6? At what point are we okay saying, well, I can't play with this guy, I've got to leave? So that seems a bit strange, a little bit hypocritical. But anyway, it doesn't just end there for Vex. You lose two of your players. And then, on top of that, turns out the coach / analyst decides to bounce as well. He puts out a tweet longer. Let's see. This is in French. I don't think I'm going to be able to translate it, but I've got a translation here. And basically what he said was that he wasn't consulted. He feels like he needs to be consulted given his role within the team. I'm inclined to agree with that. And he thinks that's a great kind of transgression. And as a result, he's out and doesn't want to work in the team anymore. So out he goes. So you've got a team in complete disarray at this point because you have chosen to bring one contentious player in and you didn't talk to your players and you didn't frame it. It's just terrible management by Vexed, frankly. Now, again, how do I feel about the coach walking away and backing up the players? I got to say that I'm ambivalent. I suppose if you can't bring yourself to play with someone and you're saying, look, we're just going to leave, actually. We're not going to stay and be little bitches and whine and demand, you know, we're just going to leave. We're going to be relatively adult about it. All right, then, fine, I suppose. But it certainly makes me wonder what kind of players Kelly's going to be able to play with this wonderful, glorious comeback trail he's supposedly on. It shows it's going to be incredibly difficult for him, which we knew, right? Like, people don't like cheaters. And it is strange to see him get singled out. I think we're going to get into why I think that might be the case in just a moment. So that's Kelly's comeback. Now, he's still in Vexed at the moment, and it looks like moving forward that it's going to be the case. They've picked up some new players. I think legendary French in-game leader from 1.6, Hart, who I think is a fucking genius, a tactical mastermind, is joining the team. Hart certainly seems to be able to accept Kelly's past, so who knows? Maybe things will get slowly better for him as it's kind of more normalized. But here's the thing. I saw, Duncan, my old friend, kind of tweeting about this, saying we don't have any proof that Kelly even cheated at LAN competitions. And he's right. He sure is right. We don't have any hard proof. We don't have any hard proof. Not hard proof. But I want to talk a bit about some of the things that were said about Kelly and some of the contradictions and inconsistencies in his stories. Let's start with Affexio. Now, Affexio, we all know what's going on there with him. He's kind of a guy with, like, just nothing to lose, now. And back then, he was very forward. He was always an outspoken guy. And this was Affexio back in 2014. And the headline, Kelly has been cheating since 2013. I'll read you some of the quotes. I can say I am 100% sure he had been cheating in all tournaments since Games Assembly 2013. I think he had an aim key with a bind on his mouse. He is trying to minimize his action. It is sad. When GMX and I saw the news about Kelly's VAC ban, it was not a surprise for me. I knew he'd been cheating for almost 2 years, and some of the players had suspicions about it too. And then you can see here he goes on to say, I don't think Kiyoshima was cheating, and that's important for context, because Kiyoshima was another player who was accused at the time, and he said, "No, I don't think so." And lo and behold, Kirishima has not been banned. You know, nothing's happened. He did do the thing where he changed his inventory, which was a bit strange, but you know, could have just been a panic thing. Maybe he was worried about sharing a PC with you know, Kelly at some point or whatever. I don't know. We'll never get to the bottom of that. But then you can see as well, Effexio says, talking about JW and Flusher, and he said, "I know JW cheated soon after the game against Passionio, Taz, Cuban, and Lord." That was back when he was playing in a Swedish team that went on to be Epsilon. And yeah, I think he was. I think the whole thing shows he's fairly based. He had a pretty good perspective. I mean, a lot of people, you know, Pasha said JW admitted he cheated in that game to him privately. He said it on a stream. I guess we'll never know. JW certainly doesn't want to publicly address it. He doesn't have to. He's not been caught of anything. He's not been, you know, it's not been proven. But this is the thing with cheating, right? Like, we know, I used to look over at people in the French scene in Counter-Strike Source, and there was guys, and you just fucking knew. You just knew. And lo and behold, on a long enough time scale, they got caught, right? And it was pretty obvious. But you have to wait until they're caught. And then you go, right, we all knew. We all knew. So that was Effexio, right? And he's a guy who's got his finger on the pulse. I don't think he has any particular reason to lie. But he might be wrong. He might be wrong. Now, interestingly enough, Kelly himself has said that the ban was justified, and he admits that he cheated once. This is what he says. He says he tried a piece of software months before his VAC ban. Okay? That's what he says. Now, if you look, and he actually said what Effexio was saying was bullshit. Again, for length, I won't bring it up because people will cry, but he did. Go find it. You know, I think it's important to prove these things. You'll just have to take my word for it. But this is what he said. My ban was justified. And in his version, on his in the story, he said, as you see, I was banned yesterday by VAC, and it was justified. At the end of August, I was contacted by cheat coder Sepexo, who built a strong case and told me a lot of pros were using this program. Instantly, I became curious. He gave me access to the program for 7 days. Like an idiot, I fell into temptation, which was too great. I wanted to see what it looked like on public servers and matchmaking. I did not use it after that. I was going to join Titan, and I did not need to take unnecessary risks while I had all that. I was going to be in a top team with a solid structure behind it. Well, all right. I mean, another way of looking at it is that to get into that top team, you had to cheat and you were worried about getting kicked if you couldn't perform. Joining a top team means you need the software even more if you haven't got there in a legitimate fashion because you don't want to lose it. So strange logic, but again, whatever. But there was inconsistencies all over the place based on what he said. He gave multiple interviews at the time, Kelly, and couldn't keep his story straight. Let's talk about how VAC works. You know, he said that he used it once over a period of a week, used it on public servers and matchmaking only. And he said he got banned months later. He got banned months later when he was already in Titan. He said he used the cheat when he was about to join, and then he said he got banned when he was in Titan. Well, that doesn't make any sense because how VAC operates is okay. Well, let's take it. They ban in waves, as we know. It updates itself silently, so you don't know. But I mean, a lot of cheat programs, they look at the they can tell when it's been updated, basically, without getting too technical. And I'll probably use the wrong terminology anyway. And he says that he got detected months later. Well, VAC doesn't keep your kind of logs that long. It doesn't operate that way. It just, they do it in waves. So you're already flagged and then you get banned later. But for anything that directly tampers with a file, you can get, you know, I've seen people use cheats and it just gets instantly flagged and they get instantly VAC banned if it's already in the database. So there's a lot of like wild inconsistencies in the stories about it. He said that the cheat modified some files of CSGO in the root on the computer, and it was something he wasn't aware of. Any account on this computer could get banned, is what he says. Now, that doesn't sound like a good private cheat, the kind you would want to use in your gaming house, which is where he lived obviously at the time he got vacked. So, and you don't modify, when a file is directly modified and detected like that, again, it's usually an instant ban, not a delayed ban. So these things don't make any sense within the context of what he's saying. And as a result of that, I think I'm inclined to be incredibly suspicious about his story. Plus, I mean, let's be clear. You've got a good reason to lie, especially if you want to make a comeback. I think cheating online, people will be like, yeah, it's a shitty thing to do, but we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Some people get curious, some people toggle. The cheat he picked up from Sapexo, what Sapexo later said was the case, was that this was designed for LAN. So why would you pick up a private LAN cheat and only use it online? Seems strange to me. Now, there was an interview recently, very recently, in fact, and this was with a player. And again, I'll just bring you up the link to this because it's in French. This is the interview in question. And it was a DreamHack Tour with Wallax. And you can see it's by Flickshot. France. And Flickshot is kind of the new, you know, website, news reporting service that's going to replace Vacarm, created by a former Vacarm reporter. So you can see this is May the 13th. This is just a few days ago at the time of recording this. And they talked to Wallax about what happened with the whole Kelly situation. So I've got the translation here. And he said, the question was asked by the interviewer, you played with Kelly before he became a good player. Do you think he was cheating back then? And what do you think of his comeback? And he answered, when he was playing with me, he was cheating. There's no doubt. At the Gamers Assembly, he full cheated for sure. He had fun cheating. It was so obvious. I don't understand how people didn't realize he was cheating. They must have had blinkers on. Not only the game versus LDLC, and then he tails off and starts comparing it with another player. And he said he shouldn't be allowed to come back, in my opinion. So all of a sudden, this is another former teammate, somebody who knows him very intimately, talking about how he's absolutely convinced and absolutely sure he was cheating, that he saw an appreciable difference between the non-cheating version of Kelly and the cheating version of Kelly. Now, how many... I've talked to players privately about this, by the way, because the biggest bone of contention is cheating at LAN, right? So I've talked to players, pro players from around that time, and they've told me, I'm not going to name them, but they've told me more than one, have said that when Kelly used to play, sometimes they would sit down at the PC that he'd been on, and it would be completely wiped clean. Like, they would have to reinstall Counter-Strike. It would have to be reinstalled on the PC. Everything would be completely wiped. Now, you can make that what you will. I mean, maybe that's just something he does habitually. But again, this all adds to this very strange series of coincidences, which all culminates with the fact, well, he was fucking vac banned. You can only give somebody so much benefit of the doubt once the worst thing can happen. It's not like the JW situation when everyone goes, oh, he cheated and he admitted it, but he never got caught, he never got vacked, right? This is... He actually gets vacked at the end of this story. He gets vacked at the end of the story. So if you get vacked at the end of the story, I'm pretty sure I can fill in the rest of the fucking story. You cheated. You probably cheated habitually, serially, and all these strange coincidences from LAN and all these teammates coming forward and going, yeah, he used to be dog shit. He got really good, and then he got vacked. What could this possibly all mean? Now, the key bone of contention was this game he played at Gamers Assembly. All right, a lot of people have brought this up. And somebody did actually get all of the frags. It's on a YouTube account called Strong YOLO. The video is private, it's unlisted. You have to have the link to get it. And it's got the demo as well. But unfortunately, the original demo is on verygames.net, which doesn't exist anymore. I'm sure somebody has the original demo file somewhere. So I'm going to show you, it's just 2 minutes, I'm going to show you all of these Kelly frags where he apparently had an 89, 88% headshot ratio or something. It was ridiculous. Now I'm going to tell you, all right, yes, this is a demo recording, so it's got a different tick rate, and this is a YouTube video of that demo recording. This is a terrible metric for evidence. I wouldn't want anybody to be convicted solely on this, but let's add it to the testimony, let's add it to the VAC ban, let's add it to everything else, and let's watch this these frags, let's watch this series of kills, and you tell me. I mean, this is the game that where he supposedly had the game of his life. He was playing for Clan Mystic. You remember Mystic suddenly emerged as these contenders in France. I think they won an ESWC, if I remember rightly, and they're taking on LDLC, who were considered a, you know, great team. You know, they got Happy in there, they got Apex in there, and just look at some of the nutty shit he's doing. This is considered the peak of his career. He gets fucking picked up and by Titan and VAC banned after this. So let's have a watch. I'll just get rid of this Wallax interview and let's full screen it. And there we go. So again, this is gonna look like ass, and I apologize. But let's just have a look. So this is just Kelly's frags. Just look at some of this shit he does. Okay, sound. Reasonable. That's a classic right there. Panic button. This is a cracker. This is one of my favorite. Just casual fucking no scope to the dome. No problem there. Great one to end on. Now, look, so here's the thing, right? Like, you're going to say there'll be people out there, because this always happens, and I've seen this argument made to support Kelly, right? Oh, he's just a sick player. You're just a silver scrub. Those are all standard pre-fire spots. That's just sick crosshair placement. We all have one of those games when you get to like Global Elite and Pro, you know, you're just fucking garbage. Look, I'm not saying that couldn't be plausible. I've certainly seen the best players in the world deliver fucking insane performances like that. I've seen Scream do it, you know. I've seen guys like fucking Snacks do it, Bialy do it. I've seen the dudes, fucking Olaf Meister. You know, I've seen all of these players pull shit like that out of the bag. Not Kelly, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he deserves to be in the same breath as those guys, which makes it especially suspicious. Could just be the game of his life. I won't take the, oh, it's low opposition in consideration, because those players went on to form one of the best teams, you know, and played on major winning teams. So fuck that noise. I'm not taking that on board at all. So, look, I got to say, I think that's hugely suspicious. I've watched that with pros, and again, even though it's not the best video, it's not the best kind of recording of a demo, they've all said, like, It's bullshit. It's fucking grade A bullshit. And that's the biggest bone of contention, that that exists and that people are pretty confident that he did cheat at LAN as a result of that performance there. And as I said, the kills at the end, the double quick scope headshots with an AWP, one I think is a pure no scope, not just a quick scope. But again, that could be because of the tick rate. It just looks like fucking nonsense to me. It just doesn't look legit. And that's the time period where a lot of people say he was cheating. So what does all this mean? Why am I making a video about it? Well, obviously, look, Kelly is a very unique case, you know. He's already fucked up in the sense that we'll look back at all those magical moments he produced, that jumping USP headshot on Pasha when Pasha looked certain to clutch 1v3 at Cologne. That's all ruined now. It's invalidated. Nobody believes it. Nobody believes it's genuine. But so that's a shit way, you know, your legacy's fucked, right? But that being said, he's a special case in terms of the comeback trail. I gotta say it. I think he was a serial cheater. I think he did habitually do it. And until he's honest about his transgressions, or until we get more information, I think the balance of evidence really paints a dim picture of him. And he's not the kind of player I think should be necessarily just roaming back in after 2 years, like nothing's happened, saying, "Hey, honey, I'm home." You know, fuck that. I want to know more about him. I want him to serve an appropriate penalty. I don't think it's quite there yet, because I think when you cross that threshold and you cheat at LAN, that is something beyond a joke, right? This is the ultimate transgression in cheating. LAN should be sacred, right? LAN should be believable. That's why we have the term onliner. Because if you go to LAN, do it at LAN, that's what people are supposed to be able to believe in. That's what the fan is supposed to be able to have faith in. So it's an ultimate sin. And I'm convinced he did it, based on all the evidence. Now, obviously, some people will bring up that we were meant to do an interview. We were. Kelly said he didn't want to do an interview in English because he felt he wouldn't be able to communicate effectively and he might get his words mixed up. I can respect that. But I definitely would like to see a more thoughtful and informative confession so we can believe, because I want to know how you can explain that. I want to know how you can explain all this circumstantial evidence, especially when you get back banned. So I don't know. I'm not necessarily, even though I preach forgiveness, don't know if I'm quite there with Kelly yet. Let's be real. Anyway, thanks a lot for watching this video. Sorry if it was too long again, but we'll just have to make do. And I'll see you on the next one. Take care.